Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But today, once again, we're in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, as we study joy grows where the stream flows.
But the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now the disciples said, Lord, we don't want you to ascend up into heaven. We don't want you to die on a cross. We don't want you to go away from us. We want you to stay right here. And Jesus said, you're going to have some sorrow because I'm ascending into heaven. But then he says to them in verse 22, he says, your heart is going to rejoice. Why? Because I will see you again. How many of you can say with me this morning, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly? I'm looking forward to that day when I'll see the Lord Jesus face to face. And so there is joy this morning. There is joy simply because during suffering we can have hope in God. Secondly, there is joy not only in suffering, but there is joy in trials. There is joy in our trials. Now turn, if you would, to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Here we see that in trials, God wants us to know that joy is available through Him. James 1, 2, it says, my brethren, count it all, what's the next word say? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different trials. Now again, someone says, you mean God wants me to be joyful when I get a pink slip? God wants me to be joyful when I'm going through a problem at work. God wants me to be joyful when there's a problem at home. That's exactly what he says. Count it all joy. Why? Because we know that God is sovereign. God is at work. God has a reason for this. And we can trust in God. And it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So God says that this process that you're going through is a process of maturity. Trials have a purpose, and trials develop maturity in our life. And so you may be going through a trial this morning, and yet God wants you to have joy in your heart because he has a purpose in that trial. So there is joy in suffering. There is joy in trials. Thirdly, there is joy in persecution. There is joy in persecution. Now you say, how can there be joy in persecution? Notice if you would in Matthew 5 and verse 10. Matthew 5, 10. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. What's the first word in verse 12? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Wait a minute. Someone says, someone's reviling me because of my faith. Someone's yelling at me because I'm a Christian. Someone is persecuting me at work because I'm a Christian. And God says that I'm supposed to not only rejoice, but be exceedingly glad about this. Did you know that for those of you who have ever suffered even a little bit because you're a Christian, that probably at that time you are more like the Lord than at other times in your life? And that's why the Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, the more the trial bothers us, then that is indicative of the fact that our view is very earthly. But the less the trial bothers us, it doesn't mean that you are not going through a proper time of grieving, or that you are not facing the reality of the problem. No. But if the problem is bothering you less, it is indicative of the fact that you're focusing more and more on heaven and less on earth. And the more we focus on heaven, then the less the problems of this earth will bother us. So it says in Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So our reward is in heaven. And we recognize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I wondered this morning, have we come to that place where we can say, Lord, I thank you that when I've had suffering, you've still given me joy. And when I've had trials, you've still given me joy. And when I've had persecution, you've still given me joy. Because there is joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And the Holy Spirit during those times can bring forth joy when there would not have been joy. I'm talking to you about the resilience of joy. I'm talking to you about a joy the world cannot offer. Hey, if the world is going to offer you joy with a brand new car, what are you going to do when someone smacks it? But if your joy comes from within, they can smack it all day long. They're not going to rob your joy, you see. And you'll find a person that is very wrapped up in the things of this world, they're happy when their toys are all in line and cleaned up. They're happy when their business is going great. But let the first trial come into their life and there's no happiness. Why? Because there's no joy, joy, joy down in their heart. But you see, there's a resiliency to Christian joy. And that resiliency is that during suffering and trials and persecution, God is still there and His Holy Spirit is still ministering and His eternal truth is unchanging. And so the reason for our joy is salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the resiliency of our joy far surpasses the joy of this world. And then I want you to see with me this morning the revelation of our joy. The revelation of our joy. Now, what I want you to recognize here, and I'd like you to jot this little statement down, and then you'll see it with me scripturally. Joy is the byproduct of obedience. Joy is the byproduct of obedience. In simple terms, you cannot disobey the Word of God and be a happy Christian. We sometimes sing that song, Brother Schmidt, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. There will be a second offering for the special music provided right at the end of the service here. I just want you to know that today. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. The most miserable people I have ever met are Christians who know what they ought to be doing, and they ain't doing it. There's no joy there. There is frustration there. Sometimes they'll see me on the street, and I'll wave and say hi, and in fact, nothing frustrates them more than a happy Christian. Because there's no joy in your heart when you're disobeying God. That's why some of you ought to come back to the Lord today. You see. Now, I want to give you this morning four ways that you can develop joy. You say, you mean you can develop this joy? Yes, you can, by obeying the Spirit of God in your life. Proverbs 16:3 is a verse that's helped me a lot, and it's in your notes, and it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Let's say this together. Ready, begin. Commit thy works unto the Lord. So if I will commit my works unto the Lord, then He will establish my thoughts, my heart. If I will begin to trust and obey Him, then He will bring about that joy and that happiness in my heart. It's not like I'm just going to wait for God to zap me with joy and then I'll start serving Him. No, I've got to begin doing what I know is right. And there are four ways that I believe joy can be revealed in my heart and in my life. These are four products of joy, but these are four ways to have joy and to develop joy in the Christian life. First of all, joy is revealed in our singing. It is revealed in our singing. And James chapter 5 and verse 13 says it this way. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him sing psalms. Another verse says it this way. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, one of the indicators of joy is that we will sing unto the Lord. And joy is revealed in our singing. You can tell oftentimes how someone is doing spiritually just by whether or not they sing at church. If someone's standing there during the song service, I mean, everyone around says, oh, victory in Jesus. And someone, Houston, we have a problem. You see, when you know the Lord and you know the Spirit of God's in your heart and someone's around you singing victory in Jesus, you're singing about victory in Jesus because you have experienced it in your life. Make a joyful noise unto your Lord. And so it's vital that we would recognize that if there's joy in our heart, we're going to want to sing. If you don't want to sing, you ought to ask yourself, why don't I want to sing today? What's wrong in my heart? A man named Joe, his wife liked to sing a lot. She had decided to join the church choir, and from time to time, she would practice singing while she made dinner there in the kitchen. And whenever she would start on a song, her husband, Joe, well, he would head out to the porch. He'd go out to the porch there. And after a while, his wife's feelings were hurt just a little bit. And she said, what's the matter, Joe? Don't you like my singing? Joe replied, honey, I love your singing. I just want to make sure that the neighbors know I'm not beating you. Now listen, it doesn't say make a beautiful song. It says make a joyful noise. And it might not be really harmonious. It might not be a sweet melody, but it ought to be a joyful noise that you're making to the Lord. You're glad you're saved. You're glad that you're on victory's side. You're thankful that you're a Christian. And you see, it is revealed in our singing, this matter of that joy that's within our heart. In fact, the Bible says it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If there's joy, joy, joy down in the heart, there's going to be a song, song, song out of the mouth. That's just the way it works, you see. When you're excited about something, maybe it's a new Harley, maybe it's a new gun, maybe it's a new girl that does your nails or whatever. When you're excited about it, you talk about it. And when you're excited about Jesus in your heart, you can't help but sing about it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And you're just excited about the fact that Jesus loves you that much, and you're going to sing about it. It's revealed in our singing. Secondly, it's revealed in our serving. When there's joy in my heart, And when there is a right relationship with God, it is going to be revealed in my serving. Now, I have found in my life that most people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity. God, I would like you to know that the tithe would be better if it was a 2% tithe. I'd like you to know, God, that I'm very busy, and so that's why you'll not see me at church tonight. Or would you tell Pastor Chapel that the sermon would be better if it was 32 minutes instead of 38 minutes? Some of you are saying, 38, keep dreaming, Pastor. We've never had a 38-minute sermon. Most of us want to serve God in an advisory capacity. But the fact of the matter is that when you have that joy in your heart, and if you want that joy to be developed in your heart, then I encourage you to sing to the Lord, and I encourage you to serve the Lord, and let Him establish your thoughts as you serve Him. Acts 20:24, Paul the Apostle says to the Ephesian pastors, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with" what? He didn't want to just finish his course. He wanted to finish his course with joy. Oh, how I pray that when Jesus comes again, you'll still be faithful in church. You'll still be faithful singing these songs. You'll still be serving God, with joy serving God. That's what Paul said. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He said, God's done a work in my heart, and I want that work to be evidenced by the song that I sing and by the life that I live serving my God. Then it is revealed, thirdly, in our soul winning. Someone that has joy in their heart, it's going to be revealed in their soul winning. Soul winning is a term we use. It is synonymous. It's a Bible term. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." It is synonymous with witnessing or evangelism, whatever you want to call it. Just do it. Soul winning is where you're telling others about Jesus Christ, where you're bringing others to church, where you're telling others that you're a Christian and what that means to you. Psalm 126 and verse 5 is in your notes. It says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in" what? Here it is again. "He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come with him, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Philippians 4:1, Paul the Apostle said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord." Do you know the greatest times of joy in my heart at this church are not when buildings have been built, not when we've been able to start some new Sunday school program. The greatest times of joy in my heart have been when people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when you pray, and when sometimes you weep in tears, and you ask God to touch someone's life, and then you go to their home and you tell them what Jesus did, and how He shed His blood on the cross, and how He rose up again on the third day, and how that if they would pray and trust Christ as their Savior, and when they pray that prayer to receive Christ as their Savior, there is nothing like the joy that comes into the heart of a soul winner at that very moment. You sow in tears, you reap in joy. And I've known even those in ministry who lacked a little joy in their life, and it was indicative of the fact they hadn't led someone to Christ in months and years. But I'm going to tell you something. When you have the privilege of leading someone to Christ, that joy comes flooding back into your heart. And I can look out across this auditorium this morning and see several folks that God's allowed me to lead to Christ personally. I got to tell you what, it brings great joy to my heart to know that people are coming to the Lord. There is joy in singing. There is joy in serving. There is joy in soul winning. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. And when we have this kickoff on October 1st, some of you have been through it before. You had a partner before. Come get a partner again and dedicate yourself a couple of hours a week to going out and telling others about Jesus Christ. There is joy in soul winning and telling people about Jesus. And then notice, fourthly, there is joy in our stewardship. It is revealed in our stewardship. In our stewardship. Now, here we see an interesting principle. And the Bible teaches us in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, I learned a long time ago that a cold heart and a stingy hand always go together. Always. But a warm heart and a joyful heart and a generous hand always go together. Bob Hope once said, "Laughter is an instant vacation, but giving is a 2-week cruise with pay." In other words, there is so much more joy in giving. You just cannot outgive God. There's nothing greater than knowing that you are having the privilege of giving unto the Lord. And in stewardship, it is more blessed, it is more joyful to give than to receive. John D. Rockefeller said, "The poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money." And may we recognize there is joy in giving unto the Lord. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here is a spiritual church, the church of Macedonia. Paul is writing to this Corinthian letter, and he's telling about the churches of Macedonia and how joyful they had been, even though they were in poverty, and how generous they had been, even though they were in poverty. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their," what's the word say? "And their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." Now, folks, think of that. Here's the equation. Poverty plus joy equals liberality. They were in poverty, but they had something in their heart. And so they said to the Apostle Paul, "We beg of you to take this offering." And Paul says, "I bear record that they gave beyond their power to this special offering." There was joy in their heart. And when there is joy in your heart, everyone around you will know, because there will be singing from your mouth, there will be serving with your life, there will be soul winning to those around you, and there will be stewardship or giving to others and to the work of God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has put in your heart. Now, my friend, think of it this morning. Think of this first of all. Have you ever received the joy of salvation? Do you know that there's joy, joy, joy down in your heart? Are you sure that Christ is your Savior? Can you remember a time when you realized you were a sinner, lost and without hope? And you said, "Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and save me today." Have you experienced the joy of salvation? And by the way, thank God you can't lose salvation once you receive it as a gift from God. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Now, if you are saved, is there someone here that would say, "Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not had the kind of joy you've preached about this morning. I've not had that resilient joy. I've been living under the circumstances." Wait a minute. David said in Psalm 51:12, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Do you need to pray that this morning? "Lord, restore that joy to me. Lord, I want to get back to serving you and doing it with a cheerful heart." God wants you to experience that joy today. I think Jesus experienced it. And listen to this, and we're done. Hebrews 12:2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," listen, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." My friend, Jesus, even while he was on the cross, had joy, because he knew that at one day, very soon, he would be on the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father. And so for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There might be something that you're enduring in your life today. May I remind you, Jesus is coming soon. And there is joy in that knowledge. And you can claim that as your very own today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And I pray that you would bring about joy in our hearts this morning. May that joy be revealed in the way that we live this week. Father, please help us meet our need right now.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled "Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows." Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now, in the privacy of your own heart, to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chaplin and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chapel's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chapel. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.